Friends in Christ, we are delighted this morning to have with us the Reverend Dr. Margaret Bullitt Jonas, who serves in her present vocation as the Missioner of Creation Care for the Diocese of Western Massachusetts and also for the United Church of Christ for the whole state of Massachusetts. We're delighted that she has come from Western Mass about a little under 2 hours to join us with us today, both at our 8 o'clock and our 10 o'clock services, and also offer a form. Margaret, we are delighted. Thank you.
Let us pray. May only God's word be spoken, and only God's word be heard. Amen.
Amen.
What a blessing to be with you this morning. I bring you greetings from Massachusetts, where, as you just heard, I serve as Missioner for Creation Care for the Episcopal Diocese of Western Massachusetts and also for the United Church of Christ across Massachusetts. It's a very unusual ecumenical role, and it means that I travel from place to place, preaching the gospel and speaking about our call as Christians to love and protect the earth that God entrusted to our care. If you'd like to know more about what I'm up to, you can visit my website, which is called revivingcreation.org. So given what I do, you can imagine my pleasure when several weeks ago, I received an invitation from your rector to preach here at St. James. He told me about the steps you've been taking to care for God's creation. I hear that you are working to improve the building's energy efficiency and moving toward, we hope, toward installing solar panels. And you hosted a public forum on wind power, and then last month, your vestry decided unanimously to divest from fossil fuels, making this congregation the first one in the diocese to divest. I am deeply thankful for your leadership, thankful that you are setting out on a path to live more lightly on the earth, following Jesus on the way of love. Faith communities have a special role to play in healing what one of our Eucharistic prayers calls this fragile earth, our island home. The world needs our witness more than ever. Scientists are telling us with increasing concern that the web of life is unraveling before our eyes. Great populations of creatures, even entire species, have vanished. Maybe you remember last fall when the World Wildlife Fund released a major report showing that the number of animals around the world has plummeted by over half in less than 50 years. Human beings have wiped out 60% of the world's mammals, reptiles, amphibians, birds, and fish since 1970. According to this new study, the vast and growing consumption of food and resources by the global human population is destroying the web of life, billions of years in the making, upon which society ultimately depends for clean air, water, and everything else. One expert commented, "This is far more than just being about losing the wonders of nature, desperately sad though that is. This is actually now jeopardizing the future of people. Nature is not a nice to have. It is our life support system. You've probably heard that we are on the brink or even in the midst of the world's sixth extinction event, the sixth time in world history that a large number of species have disappeared in an unusually rapid succession, caused this time not by asteroids, not by ice ages, but by humans, one species, humans. Scientists are describing what they call a biological annihilation. And then, related to the loss of animal populations and species extinction, we also have a changing climate. Because of the relentless burning of coal and gas and oil, month after month, our planet is breaking records for heat. The five warmest years in recorded history were the last five. And 18 of the 19 warmest years have occurred since 2001. Studies show that the oceans are also breaking records for heat and heating much more rapidly than many scientists had expected, with drastic effects on marine life, coral reefs, and sea level rise. Sea ice is melting, land ice is melting, tundra is thawing, extreme storms are growing more intense, and probably read or heard about the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report, which also came out last fall, showing that we have only a very short span of time, maybe 10 or 12 years, in which to avert a catastrophic level of global warming. I think it's fair to say, in these precarious times, many of us, for good reason, may be feeling stressed out, or numb, or, frankly, scared. This is a good time to sink our roots deep into the love of God, to remember how loved we are, how cherished in God's sight, how nourished we are by a love that will never let us go and that will give us strength for the journey ahead. So thank God for St. James. Thank God for every community, every congregation, every house of worship that draws people together to pray and to listen to the wisdom of Scripture and to draw close to Jesus and to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Today's readings give us a beautiful image for spiritual resilience and leadership. In Psalm 1, we heard, we sang, those who trust in God are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Imagine being such a tree. Your roots go deep into the love of God, which runs like a river beside you. No matter what is happening in the world around you, even if what is going on is dangerous or chaotic, even in times of storm or drought, your roots reach deep into the ground and you stand beside a divine river that is always flowing. Like trees planted beside a stream of living water, we are rooted and grounded in love. We know that God is with us. We feel God's power and we feel God's strength. Drawing from those deep roots, we rise up like trees, bearing fruit in due season with leaves that do not wither. We drink deep of abundance. We absorb it into every cell of our bodies, and then we share that abundance with the world freely and generously without holding back because there's plenty more where that came from. the same image of spiritual resilience and vitality plays out in today's reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots when heat comes. Sending out its roots by the stream, it shall not fear when heat comes. And its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. I find this tree imagery so compelling that it affected the title of a book I'm co-editing that will be published this fall. It's called Rooted and Rising: Voices of Courage in a Time of Climate Crisis. With my co-editor, Leah Shade, we've put together a collection of essays by 21 climate activists from different faith traditions, asking each of them to write about what gives them the energy and motivation and courage to keep pushing for a more just and healthy future. When the odds of success are so slim, and the forces arrayed against us are so great. In one way or another, all these dedicated activists have sunk their taproot into something enduring that grounds them, like trees extending their roots into deep soil. I'm not a biologist, but I'm learning that trees are more intelligent than we thought. Books like The Hidden Life of Trees tell us that the root systems of trees communicate with each other, and that trees develop social networks and share resources. So a lot of underground life is going on under our feet. And that's true for human beings as well. When we sink our own roots deep into the love of God, we too discover that everyone and everything is connected. On the surface, we may see only our differences, what divides us from each other. But from below, on the level of roots, we discover what Martin Luther King Jr. called the beloved community. Here, where God's love is always being poured into our hearts, we realize that everyone and the whole creation is loved, and that we belong together. Beneath all our differences of race, class, gender, political party, we belong to one living, sacred whole. Every time we tap into the deep down truth of our essential belovedness, we discover fresh energy for life. And so, up we rise like a mighty tree, offering our gifts to each other and the world. Our fruits and leaves, a kind word, a healing gesture, our resolve to take part in the healing of the world. You know, when it comes to tackling climate change, there is so much that we as individuals can do. Maybe we can plant a tree, or save a tree, recycle more, drive less, eat local, eat organic, eat less meat, and move to a plant-based diet. Maybe we can support local farms and land trusts. We can fly less, and if we must fly, we can buy carbon offsets. Maybe we can afford solar panels and move toward a carbon neutral home. If we have financial investments, we can do what this church did, divest from fossil fuels. And if we're college graduates, we can urge our alma mater to divest. I'm thrilled to hear that this congregation is being invited to take part in a new initiative that the Episcopal Church is launching on Ash Wednesday. And you'll hear more about that in the announcements. It's called Sustain Island Home, and the Diocese of Western Massachusetts is also going to be launching this starting on Ash Wednesday. Sustain Island Home provides a so-called carbon tracker that will help us mark our progress as we learn to make better choices around energy. Learning how to live a carbon neutral life, learning how to ditch fossil fuels and turn toward energy efficiency, energy conservation, and clean renewable energy, you know, that's one of the most powerful and prayerful ways we can align ourselves with the love of God and neighbor. Individual changes make a difference. But because of the scope and speed of the climate crisis, we need more than individual action. We also need systemic change. As the IPCC made clear, that's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, as it said, we need to transform our society and our economy at a rate and scope that are historically unprecedented. To do that, we, you and I, we will need to use our voices and our votes and make it politically possible to do what is scientifically necessary. This will not be easy. We will need to root and ground ourselves in the love of God, the justice of God. And I can't help thinking of the African American spiritual that became an anthem of the civil rights movement. A protest song, a union song, "We shall not be moved." Even now, I can hear Pete Seeger singing, we shall not be moved. We shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. Thank you. Young and old together, we shall not be moved. Men and women together, we shall not be moved. Black and white together, we shall not be moved. City and country together, we shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, we shall not be moved. Thank you. Rooted in love, and rising in action. Christians and other people of faith will not be moved. We intend to bear witness to our God-given faith that life and not death will have the last word. We intend to become the people that God meant us to be. People who are good stewards of God's creation, people who are a blessing to earth and all its communities. So some of us join Citizens Climate Lobby, a bipartisan organization that is pushing for a price on carbon. Some of us join our local chapter of 350.org and become part of the global climate movement. Those of us who are white and privileged listen to the voices of racial minorities and indigenous peoples and the poor, knowing that they are God's beloved and the ones hit first and hardest by climate change. Together, we intend to build a world in which everyone can thrive. There is so much we can do, so many ways to bear fruit. As we prepare to receive Holy Communion together, to receive the body and blood of Christ, to take in his presence and his strength, I invite you to ask yourself, how is God calling you to rise up and take part in the healing of the world? Amen.